Welcome to the preaching ministry of Dale Scribner, Senior Pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship, located in Olympia, Washington. Let us join Pastor Dale as he shares today's message.
Table for you to follow along with us. We are in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 15 through 22. We're talking about caution, rough road ahead. And as we comb through 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter gives us four cautionary signs that we need to be aware of to avoid getting stuck in a rut. And this is part two of a message that we started 2 weeks ago. And 2 weeks ago, we learned that we need to be careful as we walk. Watch your step. We have six dogs at our house. Two beautiful German shepherds and four little squawny chihuahuas. And when the dogs' droppings are not picked up, I tell the kids, now watch your step when you go out there. And they are very good at that. And so we need to be careful in our walk with the Lord. We're talking about confronting false prophets. And Peter spends the whole chapter addressing the alert that we need to be on when those false prophets appear before us. And the scripture says, walk circumspectly, means to be careful when we walk with precision and exactness. And we need to learn to discern between truth and error. And 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, we talked about that 2 weeks ago. They went out from us, but they were not really of our number. If they had been, they would have remained with us. Their desertion shows that none of them was our number. And then secondly, we need to be careful who we walk with. And have you found this to be true? People are more easily impressed with how a person says something rather than what a person actually says. And so we're talking about walking with the Lord. And as I was putting this message together, I decided to do a little research on how important it is that we walk. According to medical authorities, walking is one of the most profitable forms of physical exercise. Walking stimulates the heart, lungs, strengthens the bones and muscles, increases the blood flow throughout the body, and reportedly contributes to the loss of excessive weight. Because of its multiple values, Americans have been encouraged, leave your cars in the garage and start walking down these trails that surround our city. A television commercial some time ago reminded us that walking makes good life even better than it is. So, how many walkers do we have in our church this morning? We have a few walkers, and I know that Nora and Don, they walk very religiously at the mall, and Don, he never has met a stranger. That guy knows more people than anyone I know of. And Nora had two hip replacement surgeries in 2016, and God brought her through those difficult surgeries, and she is walking again. Did you know that the average pair of feet take 7,000 to 8,000 steps a day, or about 2.5 million steps a year? Does that make you tired? Does me. That means that in a lifetime, we will walk approximately 115,000 miles. Did you know that the first man to walk around the world was a man by the name of David Knuts? He lived in Waskega, Minnesota. And he completed his walk on October 5, 1974, after walking 15,000 miles. The trip required 4.5 years, during which time he went through 22 pairs of shoes, wore out 2 mules, and at the completion of his historic journey, an auction was held, Dennis, with eager bidders paid $150 for the right shoe and $170 for the left shoe, and the highest bidder bought the remaining surviving mule for $140. I don't find that appealing at all, and I don't find it practical at all. However, God wants us to understand that the Christian life is a walkathon. It's a walk a journey, and it requires dedication, it requires commitment, and it requires an act of the will, it requires courage, and it requires persistence. It calls for a surrendered, fully yielded life and an intense desire to please God rather than ourselves. This spiritual walk of which the Bible speaks is a dynamic exercise of faith, and the successful completion of this walk is dependent not upon our natural or physical resources, but it is dependent upon the strength, the leadership, and the controlling influence of the Holy Spirit. Henry Ford said this, "Those who walk with God always reach their destination." D.L. Moody said this, "If I walk with the world, I cannot walk with God." Jack Hiles said this, "God's mighty power comes when God's people learn to walk with God." And so this morning, as we look for ruts in the road, how's your walk with God going? When we walk with the Lord, we draw closer to the Lord with all of our heart. As we walk with God, He becomes our focus. Our heart longs for Him. Our heart seeks His presence. And our desire to have fellowship with Christ and be like Him will grow, while the worldly pleasures and pursuing the trivia lags far behind. When we're walking with God, we desire to please God, and we allow the Lord to work in our lives to make us into the image of His Son. Now, it's very interesting that in the book of Genesis, chapter 5, verses 21 through 24, we come across a man who learned the secret of walking with God. Enoch was 65 years old when he fathered Methuselah. And after the birth of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God for how long? 300 years. Wow! He fathered other sons and daughters. So Enoch's life lasted 365 years, and he walked with God. And it was there God decided, you know, enough's enough. I'm just going to tell Enoch, come on up and join me in paradise. And that's how he exited this life here on earth. The Bible also tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, that Enoch's life was well-pleasing to God. How many times have I said this over the years, that we need to learn to live for an audience of one, and we need to learn to have the courage and the discipline and the commitment to swim upstream in a downstream society. Sometimes we have the mistaken notion that God is very hard to please, yet God knows every weakness that we have. He sees how frail we are, better than anybody else. And the truth of the matter is, God is not hard to please, as we might think. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Paul said in Galatians 5:16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." The psalmist said in chapter 1 of that book, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers." 1 John 1:7 says this, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Walking with God all began back in Genesis with Enoch. Noah also was a man who walked with God. He's described in the Bible as a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and the Bible says he walked faithfully with God. One of my favorite verses in the Old Testament is Micah chapter 6, verse 8. I share this verse almost every time when we have a memorial service. What does God require of us in the short life that we have here on earth? And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Walking with God is not an exercise reserved for a few. But God longs for all of his children to walk with him. So what happens when we walk with someone? Well, you and your close friend or buddy walking, be it in the mall or be it out in the country someplace or on one of those Chehalis trails or walking around the block, what takes place? Well, the two of you are in close proximity to one another. And so what do? You walk, you talk, you listen, you laugh, probably cry, you share your hearts with one another, and your attention is focused on the person that you are walking with. And so you pause occasionally to notice the beauty around you or maybe some occasional distraction. But you point these things out to your person that you're walking with. I don't like to see summer end, to tell you the truth. But I enjoy the fall colors of the year. And I believe in climate change. I want that to go on record. It changes four times a year. And we are in a climate change now, folks. But you walk together in harmony and you enjoy the peaceful camaraderie. Sometimes you just walk and you don't say anything to one another. You just enjoy being with that person in their presence. And walking with God is like that. When you enter into that intimate relationship with God through faith, he becomes our heart's greatest desire. Knowing him, hearing his voice, sharing our hearts with him, seeking to please him like Enoch did, it becomes our all-consuming focus. I've got to tell you something. I don't know about you, but how it works with me is that the older I get, I've seen more sunsets than I will see sunrises. And so my focal point has been more and more directed toward him and not all the trivial stuff that I have been pursuing most of my life that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. He becomes everything to me. And meeting with him is not reserved just on a Sunday morning. It's a 24/7 walk. We live to have fellowship with him. A.W. Tozier states that the goal of every Christian should be to live in a state of unbroken worship. This is only possible when we walk with God. So how's your walk with God going? Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit wants us to walk with him. And he wants our undivided attention. Sad to say, I think some people might be tempted to bring along a kazoo, play it the whole time. You know what a kazoo is? Look it up on the internet. Go to YouTube and they will give you lessons on how to play a kazoo. It's very annoying to play that stupid thing when you want to talk with someone. And many people try to walk with God and hang on to the kazoo habits, like that unconfessed sin, worldly entertainments, or unhealthy relationships. They know these things are not God's choice for them. And I know people that are wrapped up in some of these unhealthy relationships. They're going down the wrong path. They know that. But they pretend everything's just fine. Well, I am reminded, God's the one that keeps the record, not me. The relationship has to be totally committed, focused on God. To walk with God means that you and God are in agreement about your life. Bible says in Amos chapter 3, verse 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? To walk with God means that your life, my life, is aligned with His. And we seek every day to consider yourself, as Paul would say, crucifying the old flesh, having a heart that is pure and right before God. So when the Bible speaks of walking, it speaks of a lifestyle. The New Testament, walking with God, is often called walking in the Spirit. So to walk with God means we choose to glorify Him in every way we can, regardless of the personal cost. We choose the narrow road over the broad way to a destruction. Now, it's not very difficult to identify people who walk with God. People in your relational world, do they see you as a believer, one that walks with God, as a lifestyle? These people who walk with God, they live a life in sharp contrast to the world around them. They're like stars in a nighttime sky. They produce the fruit of the Spirit rather than the fleshly desires. Peter and John had been arrested when they were preaching, and they were brought before the authorities. You read this story in the book of Acts, chapter 4. The members of the council, they were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training to scriptures. They also recognized that these two men had been with Jesus. And so when we walk with God every day, the world cannot help but recognize that. In spite of our imperfections and lack of knowledge in some areas, they can conclude, you know what? That person walks with God. Something different about that person. Their attitude is different. Their habits are different. Their lifestyle is different. Why? Because on the road, walking with Jesus, our life begins to be so much better than trying to walk that road all alone. Now, Peter talks about the four cautionary signs. I have time just to mention one more today, and I'll wrap up this message next Sunday. Here's another sign. Be careful what you walk toward. Be careful what you walk toward. Now, this whole chapter, Peter is warning us against the errors of false prophets. And what he's telling us is the false prophets overpromise, but they underachieve. They underdeliver. Someone knocks at your door, you're settled in your faith, and if you give them airtime, they will try to persuade you and convince you that your belief system is all wrong. Hey, come and follow me. We're on the right path. And they want you walking toward them. Verse 18, for when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure the lusts of the flesh through lewdness. The ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. They promise freedom. The allurement is, come and be free. Do what you want. Do as you please. Be free. Have you discovered something? That the more you do as you please, the less you are pleased with what you do. Now that's a fact. The allurement is the freedom, but what they deliver is bondage. Now every commentary I've read on this passage of Scripture, every biblical scholar that I follow, they really don't know for sure who Peter is addressing here. It seems to be that there's developing among Christians this belief system where people realize, you know, there's something empty in my life without God, and I should better myself somehow, and so I need to believe in something that makes me feel good about myself, short of repentance from my sin and faith in Christ Jesus. Whatever that system is, that's developing here in Peter's audience. Peter senses it and he writes about it. It's true. Look around you. Most people is looking for a better way to live, and they want some spiritual experience, but they want it without the narrowness of the gospel. They want it, but they don't want to be told they're a sinner apart from God. They will have nothing to do with that. They don't want to be told that they have to have a new birth and trust in Jesus. So what they opt for is some religious reformation. It's amazing how many people say, I'm a Christian. I don't have to belong to a church to be a Christian. Or I want to find a church that makes me feel better. I want them to tell me I'm okay. I'm good. I can leave church feeling better. I want to feel better about myself. So it's sort of an outward reformation. I kind of put on the religious practices, but I want to get the gist. I want you to get the gist of what Peter's saying here. Here's what he's saying. Outward reformation without inward transformation will lead to spiritual incarceration, bondage, and slavery. They end up in the worst bondage. I believe that a person can be spiritual. That doesn't mean that they're saved. Jesus confronted a whole bunch of those people called Pharisees. I meet people all the time. I'm a very spiritual person. I say, well, congratulations. Are you saved? Tell me about your born-again experience with Jesus. Oh, I don't want to talk about that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So be careful what you walk toward. Now, a pig. Do you know that some people actually have a pig for a pet? They run around the house. I capture this picture on the internet. A pig wearing a bow tie, running around the house. Can you believe that? We need to be careful how our walk ends. How our walk ends. Just look at those last two verses and mark on them, apply them. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. They were confronted with the truth of the gospel, but they didn't want it. They rejected it. Then having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb. You've heard this before. A dog returns to his own vomit. A sow, a pig, having washed to her wallowing in the mire. He's not speaking very kindly of doggies and piggies here, is he? These two animals in our culture today are pets. In Peter's culture, they were anything but pets. They were scavenger animals. They ran around town eating garbage. Pigs, as you well know, were highly considered unkosher. It was never a compliment to be called a pig or a dog. Gentiles were called dogs. Back in verse 12, he describes false teachers as natural, brute beasts made to be caught and destroyed. It's pretty strong language. A dog returns to its vomit, and a pig that goes back to its mire. Why do dogs and pigs do that? It's their nature to do that. You can bring a pig in the house, shampoo him, groom him, put a bow tie on him, turn him loose outside. You know where that pig's going to go? He's going to find the first mud hole he can find and wallow in it. That's his nature. That's his nature. We can have an outward appearance, but the heart has been untouched by the regenerative processes of the Holy Spirit. If we don't have that new nature that comes with the new birth, we're still living the old life. So where's your walk ending up? How's it going to end? You can hang around the church crowd all you want, but proximity to the truth is no guarantee of change. You know what? I think Peter was talking here. I think he had in mind a fellow disciple. When you walk with Jesus for 3 years, you get really close to your leader. Peter and Judas both turned on Jesus. They betrayed Jesus. Peter was so brokenhearted that he repented. Judas was so brokenhearted that he killed himself. Now, Peter is an honorable name today. We name our sons, some of us do, after Peter. But who names their son Judas? Let's call him Judas. I've never met someone whose name is Judas. Johnny Cash was named Sue, but not Judas. Proximity to the truth is no guarantee of change. And yet we still try to convince ourselves that our walk with God is all right, but unless there's an inner transformation of the heart, you're just kidding yourself. Just kidding yourself. D.L. Moody was talking to a friend one day, and another guy walked up to them, and D.L. Moody saw this guy walking up to them, and he said to his buddy, he said, "Hey, that guy, he was in the army." And his buddy said, "Well, that's right. I know him. He was in the army. How did you know?" And D.L. Moody says, "I can tell by the way he walks that he was in the army." So, back to Enoch as we wrap up this message. I'm going to finish it today. Talking about Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and the Bible says that his life was pleasing to God. I don't know how you want to be remembered, but one of the ways that I would like to be remembered is, you know, Odell, he was authentic. Sure, he had his faults and his imperfections, but he was authentic. His walk with God was solid. He was a man that walked with God. I can't think of a better epithet that can be said to somebody who professes to be a Christian and is a Christian. For them to say at that memorial service, you know what? That person walked with God, just like Enoch of old, and his life was pleasing to God. Noah also walked with the true God. He walked with God on earth, and he was faithful. So, how's your walk? Are you mired down in some ruts? Or are you walking around those ruts because you have a good walking companion that steers you clear of those ruts? There's only one way I know that I can walk and avoiding the ruts and the false prophets that knock at our door. They're going down the wrong road. I have never met a Christian who has converted a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness at the door talking to them. Haven't met one. My time is more valuable than that. But we need to spot them because they're very clever and they're very deceptive and their message is very appealing. So these are the four signs that Peter mentions. There's only one way to do it, folks. In the words of the old hymn, when we walk with the Lord, in the light of his word. What a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Be careful as you walk. Be careful who you walk with. Be careful how you walk toward in the future. And be careful how your walk will end. Three closing thoughts. Number one, test character. Is there any fruit of the Spirit? Talking about the creed. What do they have to say about Jesus? Do they mess up the gospel? Do they deny the deity of Jesus? And what do their converts look like? Is there joy in the camp? Something to think about. You can tell by the way people walk whether or not they're walking with God. What does the Lord require of you? To do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Can't think of a better epithet than that one. Here's a man, here's a woman who walked humbly with their God and did not get mired down in the ruts along the way. Let's pray together. Father, we do pray with a spirit and a heart that's behind the words of Peter. Pray that you would help us to learn the difference between truth and error. Give us a desire that burns within our hearts, a desire to walk with God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together.